This episode of the Android Central Podcast is brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. Save 10% on your entire order by using the coupon code AC10 at checkout.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 227. If you remember that show, you're old like me. For Friday the 13th, 2015. Jerry, do you remember 227?
Yes, sir, I do.
Russell's not old enough.
I don't. Nope.
See? Alex?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, okay.
I'm probably in the wrong country more than anything.
Yeah, I was going to say. I forget that. You're one of us. More or less.
Thank you, I think.
I'm starting down that hill early today, aren't I? So, welcome to the Android Central Podcast, where we talk about old 80s TV shows and other stuff, and occasionally Android. If it's your first time joining us, hi, thanks for coming. We do this live on Fridays, which is when things get really interesting. It's recorded for posterity, for the people who can't be here live, but we love them anyway. And actually, it's far more people who listen recorded, so don't feel bad. What I'm saying, and you're not missing anything. It's not like I'm going back and editing a whole bunch of fun stuff out or anything,
except for that part about the circus monkeys.
See, that's why I stopped there, to give you a chance to circus monkeys. That's the best you got today?
Family friendly.
All right, that's true. I appreciate that, because in that case I would have to edit stuff out. So here's my what the hell is this of the week. This is what happens when PR companies have my address and send me things without...
PR companies, feel free to send me little milk jugs full of candy.
This is glitter. This is not candy. This is
No. Send it to Phil.
This is just like confetti. If my kids...
That's not even proper glitter. That's just garbage. They've just sent you waste there, Phil.
If my kids see this, and for you guys listening without the video, it's worth... Well, it's not really worth it. It's a jar full of like confetti. If my daughters see this, it's all over.
Guess who's telling them?
Oh, man. Oh, that's right. You got a pipeline into those kids, too.
Go to the office with Daddy tomorrow.
We have something for you.
Jerry said we need to go to your office. So, what do you guys want to start with this week? It's been kind of weird.
It's been busier than it normally is the first week after a big show, right?
Yeah.
Stuff has actually happened that we've had to write about and talk about.
And it's hard to think that, like, a week ago we were in Spain, and now it's just like, oh, God, we're back. And we're still going. Actually, you know what I want to start with? I want to start with what Russell's been doing, because he's been having some fun the past few days, like, printing.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, so my office is a little noisier than usual today, because a 3D printer was sent to me for us to figure out what happens when you take an Android device or multiple Android devices and connect them to 3D printers. And it's been really cool stuff. I have, it took me a day or two to get used to it, and I have a little bits of plastic all over my office now because prints fail and things are kind of weird. But once I figured it out, I was able to start making like actual cool things. I made a dock for my Nexus 5 to go in the cup holder of my car. And I mean, like, it looks nice. I was really surprised by how well it turned out.
Cup holder looks a lot like the one, who makes it? I think, does Tilt make it? It's a wireless charger, and it's the same sort of thing. It just, your phone fits in there, and then it charges.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I shouldn't sound surprised, but, like, I was a little surprised that what you printed looked as good as a retail product, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, the coolest thing, the ability to print it has been neat, but there are just massive communities online full of these renders that people have published that are completely, you know, free to use, free to modify however you want. And so, I mean, like, I went and searched for things for the Moto 360 and the Moto X and the Galaxy S5 and, you know, like, everything. There are accessories for everything that can be printed and messed around with. And it's pretty cool to watch as people submit new stuff and communicate with one another. It's like this, its own little social network. I was very impressed.
How much are these things? Like, can I just get one, or am I going to have to, like, explain myself to my wife later?
Yeah, this is definitely an explain yourself to your wife later. The Ultimaker 2 is the one that I'm using, and I think it's $2,500. for its base model. They're getting ready to make a smaller and therefore cheaper one called the Ultimaker Go. And there's a bunch of them that come at a bunch of different prices, including ones that you basically build yourself from scratch, or as close to scratch as you can get in this situation, that I think you can get down as far as like $350 for like a decent kit. But really, you know, it's hard for me to say that these are like ready for consumers, like regular consumers, because you end up doing a lot of strangely manual things to get the printer to do what it's supposed to do correctly. Like this thing, the little extruder comes down onto this flat bed, which is like a plane of glass, and the plane of glass has a leveling computer in the back that'll handle like the back part of the machine, but then there are these two thumb screws in the front that you basically have to turn until the glass is 1 millimeter away from the extruder, and you're basically eyeballing this entire process. It's really kind of tough.
Sounds scientific.
It's not so much science. I mean, like the instructions are like, hey, just put a piece of paper in between the extruder and the glass, and that'll be close enough. But then, like in another sentence, it goes, hey, you really want to be as exact as possible? I go, well, make up your mind. Which one am I doing?
Well, no, that's also part of the price thing. If I'm correct, you could spend $10,000 and get one delivered to your house, and all you have to do is plug it into the USB port on your computer. Correct?
I think we like the higher end ones that are made by MakerBot now, do a whole lot more. But I mean, like you said, the price jumps pretty extraordinarily when you're doing that kind of stuff. So I think that the $2,500 price tag would be cool if it did more of the stuff that some of these $10,000 units do. And I'm sure that it will within the next year or two. But it's really cool to see how far this stuff has come in such a short period of time. Because, I mean, we saw these at Google I.O. a couple years ago, where they were these kind of great big machines printing out little cases for the Nexus 7 and stuff when it came out in 2012.
I've just never quite understood, like, you have something that's that expensive and needs to be that precise, and I mean, we're not talking thousands of dollars here, but enough that it makes a difference. Why would I want to control it with a mobile device instead of a computer, which at least feels more precise? You know what I mean?
Well, so we've reached a point where the software that's doing this is basically taking simple files, and the machine does all the rest of the work. So all you're really doing with the Android phone or with a tablet, I hook the Dell tablet up to it. It gives me the ability to look at the individual slices because everything is layers. It's basically printing plastic layers on top of one another. Mm-hmm. So with my fingers, I can kind of pinch and zoom and take a look at the slices and if I am precise enough, make changes. But the biggest thing is connecting to these social networks, grabbing the files immediately from the social network and just shooting it off to the printer, which can be done if you've got a smart device connected to it, whereas normally this thing requires either a USB connection to a computer or an SD card, where I can load the files onto an SD card and just shove it in the front of this thing, and it'll go and do the rest of its thing.
And there are whole communities for this stuff, right? It's not like just Russell in his basement doing this.
I've spent a lot of time in two of the communities so far. The one's made supported by Ultimaker. It's called Umagine. And then the other one is significantly larger. It's supported by the MakerBot guys called Thingiverse. But there are a couple others, not to mention just endless regular online forums and being able to troll Reddit and find these kind of things. It's everything. I have yet to find something. I'm sorry, there's one thing that I wanted to look for and couldn't find so far. But really it was just,
What was it?
So I thought it would be really funny if I could print a case that made my Moto 360 a pocket watch. Where it would just snap into the little lock thing and it would make it a pocket watch, but nobody has done that. But it looks pretty simple. I'm actually going to try and do it myself this weekend.
You and I spend our weekends in wildly different ways. That's cool though. That's like something I would watch, but there's no way I could ever actually do it.
See, that's where you're wrong, Phil.
Yeah? Why?
Russell's going to tell everybody why.
But it's a clever thing. I think you can.
The short version is 15 years ago, these things were huge and cost millions of dollars. Now you can get a relatively nice one for $2,500 that plugs into your smartphone, who knows what's coming next year. This is something that you're going to do one day.
It's still a niche for now, and the barrier to entry has come down a lot in just the past 5 years. But if you think of where it'll be in 5 years' time, then you know, maybe for a few hundred, you'll be able to get this kind of thing, and it'll be more compact and less, you know, cumbersome and just easier to work with. We'll have to see.
Yep. So one of the other things is that you can do with the phone, there is an app that does almost like a reverse photosphere, where you walk around an object with your camera, and it takes a whole bunch of pictures and stitches them together in a three-dimensional object. And I was kind of questioning how this would be useful at first, but it had a gallery of things that a whole bunch of other people had taken pictures of. And the very first thing that it was like floating at the top of the list when I opened the app was a snowman that some guy's kids had made over the weekend, and he just went outside and took three-dimensional picture of the snowman that the kids made and then printed it himself and stuck it in his office. It was really cool to see.
So when my kids ask me, do you want to build a snowman, and I say yes, I can actually do it.
You can just, print it. I already made one. Thanks, go away.
Damn it, I got that song stuck in my head now. I got to listen to it every night, so that's not surprising. But, I mean, not for me, for my kid. I can stop anytime I want. Don't look at me like that. Again, Alex doesn't know what I'm talking about. You know the song. Come on, Alex. Sing it. Sing it.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Phil.
Fine. Android 5.1. It's out. It's been released.
Sure. I mean, it's technically it's been out for a while, right? We were seeing it weeks back on these Android One devices, and you know, we kind of got a hint of what was coming in it, but it is finally official and, you know, released, and we've had a chance to play with it and see what is actually new.
Let's start from the beginning. What devices is it on right now?
So it's a handful of Nexus devices now. I think we still don't have it for all of them. It's this Nexus 6, Nexus 5, one of the Nexus 7s has it, I think the older one, and the Nexus 10. I think that's it for now. So we still don't have it for everything yet. Obviously, the new Verizon Nexus 6, we buy them for Verizon, that'll come with 5.1 as well. So it's some Nexus devices, not all. I guess we're looking at Google Play editions next, and then from there we'll have to wait and see. So it's still in the very, very early stages just right now.
I always like to remind everybody, right now, it's only available for the phones that needed it. Yours may need 5.1.1. There's a little bit of a difference, you know, even if it says Nexus on the back or no matter who makes it.
Yeah, I was thinking about that as I was seeing headlines that said, you know, like, such and such device was going to skip 5.02 and go straight to 5.0. I mean, it's not that you're skipping it.
You can always just go back to the Nexus S, where you had three models with three different versions of the software always. There may be subtle changes that your phone doesn't need or that your phone does need, and that's going to dictate if it's built for you.
And, you know, go back to what you said last week, the week before. Don't pay quite so much attention to the number itself.
Yeah.
So what's new? What are we seeing?
Well, it's a lot of little changes, really. We have the big things are we got new telephony stuff, dual SIM support that's properly baked into Android now, which is I guess a big deal for all the emerging markets that are looking at with Android One. We have full device protection now for the Nexus 6 and 9 and some of the devices to follow, which is effectively the stuff that Samsung and Apple are doing, where if your phone's stolen, you can require your Google account to unlock it, even if it's been factory reset. So those are the big changes. There are a lot of little changes on top of that, though, and we've kind of done a reasonable job, I think, of going over them this week in the post that we put up. Some changes to quick settings, that's been rearranged. You can change Wi-Fi networks and Bluetooth devices a little bit more easy. That's all good. Some kind of interesting stuff with the interruption system. So we don't have mute back, but it's a little easier to see what you're doing. There are new icons. You can get to the interruption menu a bit easier if you're playing music and stuff like that. You can set it so that if you have an alarm set, you can either mute or set in priority mode until that alarm. So it's much easier if you're just setting your phone down overnight. You don't want to be disturbed until the next alarm, but you do want to hear that alarm the next morning. Just lots of these really small changes that all add up, and it's just this extra bit of polish on top of Lollipop that arguably was needed at this point.
Oh, and all the Verizon bloatware that was added. Oh my
yeah,
God.
I can't move a Verizon app on this Nexus 6 that's not on Verizon.
God, you should be ashamed of yourself, Jerry.
Well, I mean, pick up an iPhone. If you think that there's no Verizon software in there, you're fooling yourself. They need it to use the phone in their network. It doesn't hurt anything. It needs to be there.
Yeah.
We also saw this Google VPN thing today, which is not probably visible and kind of hidden away, but it does point to Google doing some kind of interesting things with public Wi-Fi. Like they're trying to secure it using their own VPN. So you imagine at some point in the future when this feature is turned on properly, you'll connect to a public Wi-Fi spot and to further protect it, because if you're just sending stuff over the airwaves to an open Wi-Fi spot, that's not very secure at all. That'll be encrypted, sent through the Wi-Fi hotspot. It'll go through Google's VPN and then arrive at the other end.
That is to say, if you trust Google's VPN. And
I mean, look, you're using Google's phone and Google's browser probably.
I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying that's all the matter.
I mean, that's an issue for some people, but if you're using an Android phone, then Google already has all your stuff anyway. So really, what are you worrying about? But sure, that's an issue if you are putting your trust in Google if you do that. And there are some interesting possibilities there if you look at what Google's doing with the MVNO that they're going to be setting up, which is supposedly all about combining like the cellular side of things and the Wi-Fi side of things into one network. And if you're going to do that, then you need a way to be secure over public Wi-Fi, and that's a way you would do that with VPNs.
There's that cone of silence around Jerry right now that always makes me feel kind of...
Go on, Jerry.
This has a lot to do with Chrome, too.
Yeah.
The Chrome browser for Android is going to incorporate a lot of these features for user safety.
I mean, Chrome already has the I forget what it's actually called, the thing where it's effectively
filters.
It kind of compresses down stuff and then decompresses at the other end.
Oh well, they also have it's very hard to go to a bad URL on Chrome. I'm sure we've all seen it before that it warns you. So some of this, the idea is already there. This is just going to continue that a little bit. I'm all for anything that makes it safer for the users if it can be implemented in a way that's easy to use.
I do have some weird questions about liability, but it's a really complicated topic when you get into things like VPNs, so it's not a complete thought yet. But at some point, somebody's going to need to have that part of the conversation, I think.
I know, just the guys to do it.
Maybe.
we should say this is not an officially announced feature. This is just stuff we found I think the name of the site was Pocketables. They found it in the app manager and then did a little bit more digging, opened up the activities that make up this app, and from there you get a message which tells you about the Google VPN and how it'll help protect your data over open Wi-Fi networks. So it's not official yet. We'll have to wait and see if it ever does become official.
What about the other official things? Anything else?
It's all smaller things. I think that there was some talk of some kernel changes that either make it faster or improve battery life, and that's what you would expect in a maintenance release.
The governor's been improved.
Some people are seeing changes in the Nexus 6. I got to say, mine feels exactly the same. So make of that what you will. HD voice is new now, I guess. If that's available on your carrier.
Yeah, and that was not only a Verizon specific thing, but I have a feeling that was one of the holdouts for Verizon. I mean, it looked, and if you look at the commits in 5.1, you see like three or four Verizon specific entries.
Mm-hmm.
So it certainly sounds like that was the holdup for getting this phone on Verizon finally. Mm-hmm. And I get it. That happens when you're on a closed network like that. That's why it pisses me off seeing so many people complain about this one little app that's in there.
Well, there's also, if they want something to complain about, a carrier can mark an app as carrier software, and it has very elevated permissions to do a lot of things in your telephony stack. That's new with 5.1. I don't want to say it's a bad thing. I don't want to scare anybody. Because the people you pay your bill to every month, they don't want to screw with you. They want you to keep sending them your money.
But at the same time, these are the same people that will put these permanent super cookies in devices and do all this other stuff. They love your money more than they love you, and they love other people's money more than they love the experience that you have on your device.
So that, you know, that's just something that a lot of people are going to keep a very close eye on. And if it does turn out to be something nasty, you can bet the internet will explode in outrage.
So that's
only acceptable if the outrage is in Morse code, though.
If you don't know what we're talking about, just sort of, what was it? It was Verizon and
net neutrality.
Net neutrality. That's what it was. Oy.
So I guess sort of wrapping up 5.1, the thing that's interesting, if you just have a 5.0 phone and a 5.1 phone next to each other, like we did earlier in the week looking for all these changes, is just the really small, just you would never notice them if you didn't have it side by side, animations changes as part of the new material design stuff. You have like little clock widgets now that animate in certain ways in the clock app. The little icons in the notification tray in quick settings, they now animate when you click them. The pattern grid thing will animate in a different way that's a little bit more flowing and natural. Just these really, really small attention to detail things that you wouldn't necessarily associate with the old Android. And now there's this almost crazy attention to detail that we're seeing in 5.1.
Cool. I have it on my next 6. I really want it on the next 9 because that's the device I use the most.
And the Nexus 9 was arguably the one with the most performance jank out of all the Lollipop devices, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's also the only one not running, you know, Snapdragon.
So, true.
I mean, and that's not to, you know, badmouth Tegra. I've appreciated Tegra for a long time. It's just different. So that was the point there.
Does this mean with all the new devices launching in the next month or so that they're going to be suddenly on old versions of Android and waiting on updates straight away?
Yeah, that's the question. I know I've seen HTC say the M8 was going to get an update. We didn't bother like asking around the manufacturers. Is it going to get 5.1? Yeah, it'll probably get 5.1 or something to that effect, right?
And if it can run 5.0, it can run 5.1. So it's just a case of whether they want to put the engineering house in to make it happen.
If you are the type of person who looks at the numbers after the decimal point in the version of the operating system you're running, you owe it to yourself to look at why those numbers are slightly different. Look at your Windows computer. Depending on who you bought it from, it's a completely different software version. We're making a big deal out of 5.1, and maybe 5.1 needs a little bit bigger deal. But 5.1.0.2b6 is not going to be anything major worth worrying about. So you need to just do a little homework and you'll feel better about what version number is on your phone.
But I don't have 5.1.1.1.1.1.9.
And maybe you need to worry about that, but likely you don't.
I mean, my thing is a lot of this fixes stuff that needed fixing or changes things that needed changing in stock Android. If you have an M9 or an S6 that is very heavily customized, then you potentially have different setups for priority and notifications and all that stuff. And you know, the UI is totally different anyway, so you're not going to see any new animations or the new stuff in the quick settings or whatever else. Right. And of course, it's, you know, you're not buying a dual SIM phone, so you don't really care about that side of things. And if it's HD voice, then it's going to be built in a different way anyway. So suddenly the reasons to care about 5.1, if you're getting any of these two new phones, you don't really have much to work on that.
And we need to remember, they didn't just write 5.1 yesterday. They've been writing it for months. They've been putting the changes in, and there's nothing to stop HTC or Samsung from taking a particular change and saying, oh, we want this in our version, and adding to or changing the source code. And I'm sure they have.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I bet Samsung might launch with, you know, assuming like 5.2 is not out by then or something weird. But
if Samsung was smart, they would just change it so it says 5.3 and satisfy everyone.
There's got to be something in the rules against doing that, right? You can't one-up a version.
I imagine Google would drive to Samsung headquarters with cocktails if they did that.
That'd be fun to watch somebody try, though. That was just some random manufacturer. We're running Android 5.3.
Obviously, people with ROMs doing that all the time. Because we can track that stuff, can't we?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So we occasionally see that Android 5.3 or Android 6.2 or something. It's like that one guy that changed his version number and whatever.
go back, and it's been a long time since we messed with this, but do a search for, Jerry, what was it?
Build Prop Hall of Shame.
Build Prop Hall of Shame. And it used to be, especially back in the old days, people would alter their build props and send them into blogs. And we probably fell for it once or twice, too, so I don't want to pretend that we didn't. But, yeah, those were the good old days. There were some really bad ones, too. What? I'm trying. Where is, there it is, technology. Browser and OS. I'm looking at Google Analytics.
I mean, this is part of the reason we could see 5.1 coming as well, because we got a little spike in December, I think another one in January, when Googlers were starting to get it.
Yeah, and you kind of get a feel for the numbers. If it's like one or two pings, whatever.
You can like match it against, if you want to be fancy, you can match it against cities as well. So if you see one or two pings and they're in Mountain View, then you can be pretty sure it's what's next.
Let's see. I'll try 5.2. Yep, there's a 5.2. There's a 4 or 5.2. So, yeah. I mean, maybe it means something, maybe it doesn't. And even if it, even if this 5.2 I see right here is legit, and it could well be, I don't know. Right now it's nothing but a number. So,
what city is it from?
I don't even know where Alex sees that. I haven't looked. City. Let's see. Loading. We don't really spend all day doing this, boys and girls, by the way. Just every now and then.
Well, we didn't used to.
We will now.
And we generally don't do it in the middle of a podcast. Quebec City.
That's fake.
Somebody in Quebec thinks they are really funny. Yeah.
No good. I know too many Canadians.
Oh, I love people from Canada, but it's fake. There's no huge Google Underground Enterprise up there cranking out secret versions of the operating system.
That you know of.
Well,
they'd tell us.
I think infrared satellite imagery would tell us.
I'll get right on that. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we will launch into the Q&A, so you guys have like a minute to get your questions in. Quick, hype, go! This one's for all you office drones out there. It's time to talk about Igloo, an intranet you will actually like. If you're tired of dealing with your company's tired internal website and want something better, tell your bosses to check out Igloo. It's built with easy-to-use apps. It's got file sharing, blogs and wikis, social capabilities, shared calendars, task management, and more. It's just like the big kid internet, not some 8-bit watered-down corporate thing. Igloo pretty much has everything you need to work better together in a single configurable cloud platform. And Igloo's got responsive design, so it'll already work great on desktops and tablets, or on your phone, and that means iOS and Android, folks. Or still have a BlackBerry, it'll work on that too. And that means you can get more done while you're on the go, review a document from the coffee shop, post a project update while you're away from the computer, or even check the number of vacation days you have left while you're still on vacation. And when you design your Igloo, any change you make will immediately carry over across all devices. So if your company has one of those lame legacy intranets that looks like it was built back in the dark ages of the 1990s, tell your IT folks to give Igloo a try. Sign up now and try it for free at igloosoftware.com/android. That's igloosoftware.com/android.
This 3D printer got to the top of the build that I assigned it, and it is now just printing in midair. It's completely gone off the rails.
I was going to say, why haven't you put the camera
out? Is it spewing out plastic?
Yeah, there's just plastic wires everywhere.
Excellent.
Yeah, you got to get another account joining the podcast and just have the printer there that we just pan over to. It's probably more interesting than us anyway.
Can I join it from mobile?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely do that. All right, so while Russell's playing with that, let's just start at the top. okay. Dahl asks, do you know why Google is so bad in marketing? This keeps popping up in my mind because Apple is trying to sell a $300 netbook at a press event. But Google's not even trying to show that they got a new Chromebook Pixel. Any way to pass this to Google? I think we just did. Yeah, let's talk about the new Pixel.
It's a lot like the old Pixel.
Yep. Only newer.
I mean, they need to update a little bit newer for the people that need a Pixel. And there are people out there that need one, like me, Phil. But we shouldn't be surprised that they updated it.
was about due an update, wasn't it? It's a couple of years old now.
It would probably cost more to source the old parts than it does to use new parts.
I forget who wrote it this week, but I think they were dead on that. You know, it's not so much a commercial consumer product as it is updating, you know, things Google likes to use internally, things that developers can use to write for Chrome. And I mean, face it, if you've ever used one, it's damn cool. It really is.
Oh, it's, I still say to this day, the original one was the best laptop money could buy with Chrome on it. You know,
I would seriously get one for my kids if I could get it for like $500.
Yeah.
I just can't justify, you know, 2.5 times that.
I've always said they should pull the touch digitizer off of it, leave everything the same as it is now, and sell one for $600, and I would buy a couple of them.
As much as I like have said I wouldn't want a touch laptop, I got to say I'm a little jealous of watching the Windows people these days.
Well, your Pixel has a touch screen on it.
I know, but I never use it.
Well, so why are you jealous?
All right, Russell, where is it? Is it working?
I don't know why it's not working.
Oh, too bad. No 3D printer.
I mean, like, it says that it's connected to the Hangout.
Huh. Oh, well. Ryan Saldana asks, thoughts on the new Google Store? It's a nice-looking web page to sell Google stuff instead of the old web page.
And a bit less confusing than having physical goods sold alongside, you know, apps and music and stuff. I mean, it kind of made sense in a weird sort of way to have everything Google in one place, but it makes more sense to have a dedicated store that is just here is all the Google hardware in one place.
True.
Except the Nexus 5.
Except the Nexus 5. I mean, can we stop acting surprised that it disappeared? Sorry, but...
Have we had a Nexus phone that's stuck around as long as the Nexus 5? I'm pretty sure a year is about the limit, isn't it?
Normally? Yeah. I mean, it surprised me not in the slightest. Jake asks, do you think NVIDIA's Shield Android TV console will blow away Asus's Nexus Player?
Yes.
Russell. Russell from the corner of his house. Well, yeah, I mean, look, It's
better hardware, arguably better software, and offers more features and still reasonably priced. It will blow it away.
Well, and for me, it's still the games.
Yeah. It's
opening up to that Tegra-optimized universe. What was that?
That was me pinging the Hangout discreetly and making a lot of noise.
I'm excited for it. You know, that said, I think there's still an argument to be made if you don't play a lot of, you know, okay games, then you're probably better off with just a Chromecast. I don't know. I use it all the time. You know what I do here in my office? I don't mind spilling this. Where'd the controller go? I can't find it. But, like, after I do something, I'll take five... Oh, it's right in front of me. I'll take 5 minutes and just play a stupid bowling game just to kind of clear my head. It's handy for
which,
that.
Which bowling game?
What's it called? I think it just added it. I was going to use it for my app pick next week. I keep loading up Bloomberg in the background. PBA Bowling Challenge.
Okay.
If I can play it behind me like I've done before. We'll do it right now. But yeah. So
the interesting thing for me is these Android TV boxes are kind of, just because of the pace that mobile hardware tends to advance at, these are getting better all the time. And the pace of change and advancement is so much faster with them than it is with traditional consoles. And you've got to wonder eventually, with a console cycle being like 10 years at this point, or 5 to 10 years, then surely in the next 2 or 3 years, because of just the pace of change, eventually they're going to catch up with where consoles are. And when that happens, I think things are going to get very interesting.
Agreed. I would love to see some sort of partnership in the PlayStation 5 run Android.
I mean, it's gonna be interesting, isn't it? Because Sony's smart TVs now are all Android TVs, yep. And sure, they're only running the basic hardware. But you have a situation, maybe a few years time, when Sony is shipping Android hardware that is as fast as a PlayStation 3, mm-hmm. probably, and that's kind of a strange situation to be in. And of course, it doesn't have the game library of the PS3, which is huge. But in terms of raw hardware, then maybe you're in a situation where you can either connect to Sony's streaming service, like they're already doing in some cases, or just straight up emulate all the titles.
I don't know enough about the programming language. Can can Android apps, never mind the sheer size of like your average console game these days, but is, and I'm totally speaking out of school here, so I'm going to say something like horrible and bad and people are going to point and laugh, but like, can you do in Java the same thing you can do when you're writing for Xbox?
No. Well, you have to use, no, you got to use native code.
And you don't have to write in Java to write Android applications.
Well, that's true.
I mean, if you look at the PS3 is kind of a strange case because it used this weird architecture. The PS4 is just an x86 PC in a box, basically. The same applies to the some of the Android TV boxes.
And that's where you get things like the Unity engine and stuff coming in.
Sure.
Right? Okay.
Right.
If you guys ever wanted proof that I'm not a coder of any sort, I think that just proved it.
But there's nothing but engineering time and dollars that prevents Microsoft or Sony from putting Android on their current hardware.
I mean, Sony's got to be the much more likely one. I mean, Microsoft is just so far apart from Google in competing in every ecosystem.
I just mean the hardware itself would run no problem with Android, and the user interface could be tailored without any issue.
What about that Brixclusive today from, I think it was Reuters, that we were going to see Cortana on Android and iOS?
We see lots of inferior software on
Android. Whoa! Why don't you pack it in there? Chuckles.
Cortana actually does a lot of really good stuff.
Cortana is amazing.
If you've given your soul to Microsoft, but for me it does nothing. It can't tell me my flights. It can't read my Gmail and tell me my flights.
Well, Google can barely do that too.
But if you have an Android phone, you already have a Gmail. You already have all your data sucked out of your soul by Google. So Google Plus is probably going to work better for you. Unless you've allowed Microsoft to suck all your data out of your soul as well.
And people are acting surprised. People are acting surprised that Microsoft is bringing this differentiating feature from Windows Phone over to Android. And it's, like, to me, no more surprising than what they're doing with Office or any of the other platforms, right? Because, you know, Windows Phone in the state that it is right now, to stay relevant on the platform side of things, they need to bring this stuff to the place where there are the most eyeballs and the most installed users. So that is iOS and Android. And, you know, if you want to look at what Google's doing with Google apps on the iPhone, it's kind of a gateway drug into their ecosystem. Yep. If Microsoft wants to do the same and eventually draw people over to whatever Windows Phone hardware is going to be down the line later this year, then that's how they're going to do it.
Sure. Well, putting it on the phone I use now is incentive for me to sign up for their services and have it all work well together.
I mean, why do you think Outlook on the iPhone is so good?
It's more than that, though. It keeps people from leaving Windows as a desktop operating system. The cool thing about Google Now and the cool thing about Siri is that if you are locked into that ecosystem, then you get all of the benefits from being locked into that ecosystem. Microsoft putting Cortana on my phone means that when I sit down to my Windows 10 desktop, it has all of that data and that makes Cortana on my desktop significantly more useful. Whereas right now, as not a Windows phone user, Cortana on my desktop is just kind of a neat thing that I use for shenanigans every once in a while and maybe the weather if my phone isn't already in my hand. And so that's a big deal. But Cortana does, as a technical engine, a couple of things that I wish Google Now did, specifically the ability to receive multiple sets of commands and act on those multiple sets of commands, like giving me results and letting me ask a question based on those results and having the context there to be able to deliver that information. It's something Google Now doesn't do at all. Siri barely does, and Cortana does exceptionally well.
Kind of goes back to that conversation we had about Amazon a few weeks ago and the Echo speaker, and that, it's not the same, but it does a number of things really, really well. It's one of those spaces we haven't seen a whole lot from Google lately, have we? I mean, we see them like pulling in new information or spitting out new cards, but we haven't really seen a seismic shift in that sort of thing in a while. Man, I mean, I keep hoping, like, we mentioned the travel thing earlier, and in pulling in flights. Like, yeah, Jerry, it sucks in flights really well, but it's kind of dumb after that.
Yeah.
It did not handle well when I was changing my flights to come back from Spain. And even though I had killed them out of my calendar, I think actually it was on the way over. So it doesn't recognize that, hey, you've got another set of flights that came in for those same dates or thereabouts, and they conflict a little bit. You know, do you want to do anything about that? Whereas TripIt actively sees that something's up and then says, hey, we need you to fix that.
That's TripIt works a little differently too, though.
Right.
The way it reads your inbox is a little different. I don't know. I don't want to be all in with more than one company with all my personal data. And that's, you know, a decision for each person to make themselves. But I just want you to think really, really long and hard before you say, oh, here's another company to sell everything about me to.
Yeah.
I don't recommend it, but it's totally something that I do. I'm a terrible example. Everyone can have my data as long as they give me cool things in return. And I don't think everybody else should do that, but
generally I agree with you, but I'm also that idiot who I read every single term and condition. I send emails with questions about them before I agree. Usually I don't get a response, but just make an informed decision is all I want everybody to do. Cortana may work better for you, and you may next year get a Windows phone. If that's what works for you, great. But just be prudent.
That was a good question. Where do the other questions go? Here's a good one from Roy. Most reviews on the Nexus 9, including the one Jerry wrote and the 3 months one later by Phil, said it was good, but maybe not worth the money. Now that sales are finally happening, Office Depot has it for $349 and $429. Is that price better justified?
Maybe.
It's not a bad price.
Right. It is one heck of a tablet. There are a few things about it I don't like, but I would have to say that, you know, if you buy one, you're probably going to be very pleased with it. You know, I think that's pretty much where I went with my review, is make sure this is the one for you, because it's a lot of money.
I haven't been unhappy with it. I mean, aside from the software stuff, and a hard reset helped that somewhat. But, I mean, for everything else, I think I've been pretty pleased with it.
And I would say, like we were talking about before, wait a week or so before this thing gets 5.1 and see what it's like then. You'll have a much better idea of whether it's worth your money when you see what software weirdness has been fixed in the 5.1 update.
Yeah. Probably one of us needs to write something too. Russell, how's that Dell tablet treating you? Actually, isn't it?
It's still something I pick up every day. Yeah, I'm really happy with it. I have reached a point where I'm really ready for a Lollipop to hit this phone, or to hit this tablet. And I think part of it is because I'm now using a Lollipop on several different phones, like the work we've been doing with the HTC One M8 and the Galaxy S5 and even the Nexus 5 and getting it back to stock so that I could put 5.1 on it. It's you know, notifications are something where I now pick this tablet up and notice that the notifications are different, and it has started to bother me. But as a media consumption device, as a something to play games on, it's still incredible just how light it is, and the speaker is really nice. I'm still way happier with this than I was with the Nexus 9.
I don't even remember how much it cost. It was four something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't cheap, remember that
yeah.
much.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I liked a lot of it. I didn't like the speaker when you're holding it in landscape, because you go from a stereo left-right thing to a top-bottom thing.
Yeah, I have to admit, I was very interested in it until the weird software games came out where yours doesn't have this feature and it might get it and this isn't the software. Oh, it really was the retail software, but you didn't get it. And
oh, just the camera stuff?
Yeah, once that stuff started bouncing around, that really just made me worry, and I'm like, nah.
Yeah, I wasn't crazy about them handing out review units to people that didn't have main feature. Well, it didn't have the main feature, but the retail units didn't.
Right. That was weird.
Especially because you could just go buy one right then.
Yep.
That's just, I mean, it was bad timing, and I get that, but yeah.
And they probably, you know, didn't have any particular reason. It was just bad timing, but it still made me a little leery.
Yeah, that's fair. Oh, I'm going to screw this name up. Quadwo. I think maybe I did it better that time. I hope. Sorry. With a new 360-degree video support in YouTube, will it be worthwhile getting a Google Cardboard?
It was already worthwhile getting a Google Cardboard. Go get one right now. Go get two of them. Let somebody else play with you.
You will have a guaranteed 4, 5, 6 hours of entertainment value out of it, even if you never touch it again. And that's worth 10, 15 bucks.
Yeah.
I just thought of something we need to do. Yeah. All right. So you can get them for like $8. There's an $8 one. It's DIY, but
I do think that the whole 360 video thing that YouTube is doing is really interesting because it's a feature that's been on Nintendo's Wii U from Google for YouTube for 2 years now. And I've always thought that it was really weird that it took them this long to bring it to Android, because it's super fun on the Wii U. I can hold up the big tablet gamepad and just kind of move around as it's playing live video. They even have a couple of special things where, like, you can go on tours of Japan and stuff, and you're, like, sitting in a carriage turning around. It's what they're doing now for Cardboard, and it's super cool. I'm really glad that it's here now.
That's a good question. Yeah, spend $20. Get one. Should do it for my kids, see how they handle it. Lars asks, I'm getting a new phone, an M8. He's got an M8 and a Nexus 5 right now. I'm getting a new phone in April. Should I go M9 or S6 Edge? It's only between these two. Which one would you pick? I'm going to make Alex answer this.
Ask us in April, maybe?
Yeah.
Why an S6 I can tell you which one.
S6.
I tell you, I mean, I haven't spent a whole lot of time with the S6 and the S6 Edge, but I keep going back and forth. I really do.
That's a loaded question, though, because there's a very good chance the one we would buy is not the one we would recommend. We see that every year with our best phone of the year posts. We recommend a phone that we personally aren't using.
I think the Note 4 is probably one of the best phones you can buy right now, if not the best phone you can buy right now. It is not necessarily the one I would want to use every day.
Bingo. I mean,
that's not to say it's not a good phone. It's a great phone. It really is.
People seem to be like,
the guys were giving me crap earlier because I've got this Huawei Ascend Mate 7 here, and I picked it up and was using it some more today. And like, it's got a 720p display, and I'm strangely okay with that. I think I'm just getting.
No, it's 1080.
Is it 1080? I thought it was 720.
Nope. Oh. Unless you're thinking of the other one.
No, the other one's definitely.
Okay. No, it's 1080.
Oh, okay. Well, see, that's why you got to be here early to save me from myself.
So you're strangely happy with the 1080p screen. That's really good.
Yeah, I kind of just ruined your point there, didn't I? What was the point? I've derailed us.
All right, now what? Ben wants to know, will 5.1 have better image processing for the Android camera?
No.
No, that's...
There were no image processing updates.
If there's been one fallacy that in a lot of this surrounds the M9, and for very good reason. But one fallacy is that there's going to be some update that fixes cameras. That's not to say... Well, I mean, when was the last time we saw a camera drastically changed by an update?
The Nexus 5.
When the S4 updated to the S5 with the same camera hardware but different software. There you go.
Yeah.
Software can make a huge difference, but it's not going to, because it's not just code some engineer can tweak. It's a multi-million dollar deals of licensing between Sony and Kodak and other camera hardware vendors that have unique technology in the software that people like Samsung and HTC have to buy if they want. They have to lease it so they can sell it to you. HTC is not going to buy new stuff from Kodak in the middle of the development cycle and say, boom, your camera's magic now. It's not going to happen.
What in I said it last week. I mean, I really wish people hadn't just been so quickly to dismiss the M9 camera, and I still have serious concerns about it, but that's not to say I know it's dead. But this goes back to, I think it was with the Nexus 6, I was seeing so many people say, well, I heard the camera did this. I heard it looks like that. I heard it's not good. I mean, the easiest thing you can do, don't even read what I write about the camera. Jesus, go look at the pictures I take or anybody takes and then say, okay, show us the bad ones, because they're always bad. You know, they're bad pictures with any camera, right? But
we're talking a lot about photography this week. I can take some pictures with the Moto X, the old one, that will knock your socks off. But most of them aren't going to.
Mm.
That's what we need to remember, is you can get a good picture with just about any phone once in a while.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the first Moto X. I had a lot of really good ones out of that. I had a lot of really bad ones out of that. But yeah, and you know, light cures everything, right?
So, right, that's what I was circling around to is the reviews. Phil's going to write an M9 review here shortly, and he's going to talk about the camera, and he's going to put a handful of sample pics up there, but he's going to put the ones that look good. You can't just go on a review that says, oh, look at these pictures. That camera must be awesome. You don't know how many pictures were taken to get those samples, and when you pick that phone up and you take a picture, yours might look like crap.
And generally, we say that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, we try and get across the balance of good to bad, and you know, we always select the best ones, the ones that came out well in the review. Yeah. But you've got to try and get across how easy it is to get those shots.
Yeah, right. You have to read. You can't just go by the pictures.
Yes.
Does that make any more sense? Or should
I? No. When I said don't read what I say, that's not what I meant. Yeah, I mean, it's the difference between getting something that looks useful. The M8 is different than it is the G3,
yeah,
or the Note 4, or even the GS5. I'm really, really curious to see the new GS6s. I really want to, like, I can't wait to get my hands on those and actually use them for a while. This is the first Samsung device I've wanted to use in a long time. I wish I liked the Note 4 more. I really do. It's just too big for me.
Yep. Because everything else about it is really nice.
Yeah.
You know, software glitches aside, it's just too big.
Are you using it? Do you still have mine?
Yeah, I've still got it right here. It's actually one of the three phones I switch between.
If you're using it, keep it. I will wait for the six. I got enough phones on my desk right now.
I really am digging the S Pen. I always have. Mm-hmm. And this one's even better than the last one.
That was the other thing. I never used the S Pen, so it was just kind of wasted on me. Not that it's a bad accessory. I think it's a great one.
One of those things you either like or you don't, and if you like it, you love this one.
I think a lot of that comes down to, because I have to bounce between phones so often, I don't get the chance to really appreciate something like that. I'm not ashamed to say that.
Sure.
I wish I did. My handwriting sucks too. So. I just got an invite for a OnePlus One, says Jordan. I can get it or wait for something newer. Currently running CM11 on my HTC One M7. OnePlus One's still a really nice phone.
It is. It's a year old at this point. I would say wait it out, see what's next.
Well, I think I can speak for all of us when I say we had zero issues with the phone. It was just some of the bad decisions the company might have made that is what we mocked and laughed at. For the price, probably, you know, a great buy. Maybe even today. I know Alex said to wait, but, you know, how cheap are those now? There's like $299
for the 64 gig version, I think.
You're never going to buy a Galaxy S6 with 64 gigs of memory for $399. Never going to happen.
Yeah.
Never going to buy a Nexus with those specs and that price ever. So,
it's what I'm using right now. Phil sent me his, and I've been using it for mostly a daily driver, and I'm surprisingly happy with it. I miss Motorola's software, something fierce sometimes, but mostly Active Display. If I could just cherry pick Active Display and put it on everything, I don't just mean phones. like if I could put it on like my bathroom mirror. Just everywhere. I would use it everywhere.
You know what I thought one day, Russell? I was walking through the living room. Wouldn't that be awesome on your TV? At a glance, you could see weather or your show's coming up.
Yep. Well, and weather, there is a Chromecast like widget system that does something close, but it doesn't do anything else.
We've got the wants.
I know. I love this time of year. I'm actually excited.
So do you want to touch on the other news of this week?
Okay, sure.
Briefly?
Yes.
So we now know a little bit more about the Apple Watch.
Wait, we have to stop calling it the Apple Watch. We know a little bit more about the 38 different models of Apple Watch.
Yes.
Because that's...
He's not kidding. There are 38 models.
Okay. That's going to be a stickler. People are going to say the Apple Watch outsold the Moto 360 by 1,000,000 to 1. They're going to count 38 models as one. And that's going to drive me crazy, so I want to say something about it now.
Didn't somebody at Apple recently make a pretty nasty comment about how many versions of the Moto X there were with the ability to customize backs and stuff?
Some English bloke, I think.
Something about relinquishing your responsibilities as a designer.
Yep. Yep.
All right, I'm sorry, Alex. Continue.
So, I mean, where do you all stand on this? Because I think the design has been a little bit polarizing, at least from people who haven't seen it up close. And we have a lot of these designs for Android Wear watches that, you know, to varying degrees look very nice in pictures. When you get up close to them, maybe feel a little lighter and insubstantial. Do you think this is really, you know, worthy of the price tag? Is it, I mean, as much as anything Apple is going to command a serious amount of money.
I hate to say this, and because you hear it everywhere, and I always just roll my eyes when I hear it. I don't think this would have came out with Steve Jobs at the helm. I think
it's a very different product.
Right. It does. When I see that, I don't think Apple.
You kind of do. It's a little bit like the design it reminds me of is of the either the original iPhone or the 3G. It's that kind of rounded.
Well, no, I mean just the big, bulky, slightly confusing. I think that this could have, on the Apple side, maybe stayed in the oven for 6 more months, and they would have been able to release a product that was a little bit differently designed. I'm not going to use the word better, and arguably had a little bit better software on in the user-facing department.
Maybe. I would remember where the iPad was when it first came out. It was this big, relatively bulky thing for the time that effectively just ran iPhone level apps on a larger screen with a larger resolution.
But if you compared that to an IBM Windows tablet that was 2.5-3 inches thick, there was a world of difference.
There was, but there was a world of difference in functionality as well, and I think you're seeing that maybe with the Apple Watch and with Android Web in a different direction. The Apple Watch seems more about running stuff on the watch. And you have all your watch apps on there and stuff that is actually works with you interacting on the watch and doing more than just swiping and interacting with notifications or hooks into your phone.
Very much like a lot of what Samsung is doing, actually. I mean,
a little bit, yeah. And LG, too, I guess, to a lesser extent with the WebOS thing.
I just, you know, wearables are still in their infancy, and watches, you know, by that respect, are also still in their infancy if they're smartwatches. And I think we're all, you know, Motorola, LG, everybody else on the table, we're still chasing Pebble. You know,
and Pebble's the incumbent, I guess, just in terms of sheer numbers. But you've got to wonder when you're being... I mean, Android Wear is going to start very quickly in the next year to eat away at the low end. And eventually you're going to get to a stage where you have sub-$100, reasonably okay Android Wear watches, watches that might even at some point work with iOS.
And the best part of that is because technology has advanced a little more, these sub-$100 watches are going to be thinner and smaller and maybe even better looking than the first versions we got. So, yeah, I see exactly where you're heading. And that's why I think maybe Apple should have held off. Not for the price. Apple's never going to sell a $100 smartwatch.
No.
But I think...
If they do, they're going to do what they do with phones, and your $100 Apple Watch is going to be the 2-year-old Apple Watch.
Yeah.
For me, the big question is what happens if, and these are still, you know, very early rumblings, if Android Wear somehow comes to, and I don't even think we can call it that, but if Android Wear watches are somehow able to communicate with iOS devices, and I know I've seen that one video or whatever, but I mean properly. What does that mean? What does that mean for Pebble? That's the bigger deal for Pebble, I think.
I think that's still a little shooting the moon action, because you're going to need Google Now or the Google Search app or whatever it's called on iOS to be constantly running in the background for it to be useful on any level. And I don't see that happening.
Unless at some point you can get more running on the watch itself.
Right.
You do that, you suddenly take out a lot of the requirement of having an Android phone. It depends how badly Google wants this on iOS. Mm-hmm. They could make it happen. The way it's designed right now is it does just hook into the phone. It runs Google Play services. That hooks into Google Play services on your phone.
I feel like you guys are forgetting that all of this already exists on iOS in Google Glass.
True.
That functionality, the Glass app for iOS already does all of the things that the Android Wear app does. It's a companion app that gives you access to all of those things. So, I mean, the functionality as far as iOS is concerned already exists for Google. They've already done it.
How are they doing it? I tried it when it first came out, and it didn't do hardly anything. So I gave up and never looked at it again. So I know I need to look at it again, but do you have any idea how they're transferring this information from the phone, data from your Google account to the Glass in real time?
My understanding, I don't know how it works for Google Search, but my understanding is that everything else is based on the way Apple does notifications now in iOS 8, because notifications can exist as kind of active things. And the last time I used the Glass Companion app, it was a weird setup because it had to be tethered in a very specific way in order to use the phone. But Wear wouldn't have that problem, so I'm not entirely sure, but it definitely did work. I mean, I could give Now commands and iOS would respond.
I think we can all agree that it is possible if Google wanted to make it happen badly enough, they could make it happen, and they would do a pretty good job of it.
Now I need to dig my Google Glass and my iPhone out. Thanks, Russell.
Happy to help. Enjoy your weekend.
I just want them to release a damn device so the navel gazing will stop. It's so bad out there right now. yeah. Or I can just turn the internet off. I mean, not the internet, but my internet.
Well, we knew this was coming the minute that they said it was available for sale. It was all building up to this. And come on, it's going to be fun. It's good for business. It's good for us. And we're all going to get tired of reading and especially writing about it, but we need to.
I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the Apple Watch.
All right, so what about their laptop that has the same number of ports as my phone?
I get that. That makes sense. I wouldn't buy it. I need more ports, but I get it. That is, I don't want to say the Chromebook of MacBooks, but it's almost the Chromebook of MacBooks.
It's as close as Apple is ever going to get to making a netbook,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I'm a little, I'm a lot disappointed in the hardware they chose for it. That thing is going to be a little bit sluggish.
Mm. But so was the first gen Air. You can imagine a year down the line, more efficient CPUs, eventually you can cram something a little bit faster in there that maybe doesn't draws the same amount of energy and outputs the same amount of heat.
I see why they went with the Core M, because they needed to be fanless, and the Core M has very, very proficient at throttling itself over heat. But when it throttles itself, it doesn't like to do anything. I can, I've got a little Core M laptop here. I can make the calculator make it lag. So I'm a little concerned about, people are going to expect the same level of performance that they would get from a MacBook Air, and I'm afraid they're not going to see that.
And they're going to expect that performance because of the price tag more than anything. Yeah. You can get, this thing is effectively the same amount as, a pretty decently spec'd MacBook Air.
Or a really good spec'd Windows laptop.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not talking $400. They're what, $999?
It's $1,000+, yeah. Well, the same as the new Pixel.
So, but it comes in gold, hey.
I do want to briefly talk about USB-C.
Yes.
Because that was the thing. Like, you know, releasing a new Chromebook Pixel was kind of cool, and having USB-C on the new MacBook is kind of cool. Dual USB-C ports on the new Chromebook means that you can charge from either side.
Yep.
You can push 4K content on either side, and that blows me away.
I can do both at once.
Yeah, yeah. Can you charge from both sides at the same time?
If you haven't seen USB-C, it's almost lightning connector, right? You can come at it from either side. There's no right way or wrong way to put it in there. It's powerful enough to actually charge a laptop. I've seen people asking in the forums, specifically the M9. Okay, the M9 doesn't come with USB-C. Nothing does. No phones do yet. You know, should I hold off on it because of that?
No.
There are many reasons to hold off on the M9. That isn't one.
USB-C is... It's the future. In a couple years, any electronics you buy are going to use it. Right now, you see people like Google and Apple that are early adopters, and they sell products to the masses to get you used to it.
I think we're going to have a very awkward transition period where some stuff is USB-C and some stuff is USB, regular micro USB, just like we've had with, I guess, SIM cards and stuff like that. Yeah. But that's not something to be worrying about this year, I don't think.
Well, some of us are old enough to remember the switch between mini and micro USB.
Oh man, don't even.
Mini USB, those are the ones that...
They have little bat wings on
mini them. USB, Alex, is what we use for my camera and that little travel mic I have.
It's the ones that just tend to disappear on trips. Yes. Yeah.
So...
Those were the dark days. We don't talk about
those
dark days.
Those things are like gold at trade shows, though. Mm-hmm. I have a lot. Like, I don't lend mine out anymore. Because, you know, hey, anybody have a mini USB? And I always have like three. Because I have two devices I have to use at shows that have them. So, yeah. I mean, and that's why I didn't, you know, these Google teases that USB-C is coming. Well, of course it's coming. It's what's next. If it wasn't coming, that would be news.
Yeah, it's one thing for that to be true. It's another thing to say it. We'll see. Yeah. I got a feeling we'll see something this year with that, and just because they can do it.
Yeah,
I just want everybody to know we poked a little bit of fun about the adapter and the single port. I think I can say for all four of us, USB-C is awesome. We love seeing We love seeing it on the new MacBook. Our concern is there's no SD card slot. There's no single. Mm-hmm. Regular USB-B connector that you can use to plug your camera in or anything else you may need to plug in, and instead you need to buy a dongle.
The fact that you need to buy it, I think, is more than the fact that this is supposed to be the most wireless Mac ever and you got to buy a damn wire to get to do anything. The fact that they make you buy it and the fact that it costs as much as it does is just kind of a slap in the face to everyone that is going to be paying as much as they will for this thing.
No, we had this conversation when the first MacBook Air came out, and you had to buy the DVD Super Multi Drive that was $200 freaking dollars when the first MacBook Air came out. And I remember two of my friends who were so gung ho about getting MacBooks, just shouting and screaming and cussing at how ridiculous the Super Multi Drive was, and how it didn't perform nearly as well as the $80 Toshiba, you know, external drive that was sitting on top of my netbook that they always made fun of me for. So this is the same thing. People are buying this because they know that they want something that's super light and super portable, and that's the sacrifice that you make in a first-generation environment. It just mm-hmm. is.
I think your analogy is going to be more true than you think because USB has a smart chip, and it can reject non-Apple peripherals.
Oh, man, if that happens, that is going to be that's going to be a good day.
I've got a very nice LG external DVD writer that half the stuff I can't use on a MacBook because it's not an authentic Apple accessory.
Oh, man, I hope that happens. I really do. That's going to be a good day.
It's going to be Palm all over again.
Yep.
You know what it's going to be? It's going to be Alcatel going after Apple with that stuff. All right, that feels like a good place to end this, I think. Wow. Who'd have thought a little plug would cause so much trouble, huh? Well, it hasn't yet. But
real quick, Jordan has a question that I want to answer.
Yes.
About do we think a new Nexus will come out this year with a Type-C connector? I don't know about this year, but that's something that I would expect to see on a next-generation Nexus. Google always likes to include new hardware that other people are going to be using, so developers get a chance to monkey with it.
Wouldn't surprise me.
A Huawei Nexus with USB Type-C.
Why did you do that? Why did that happen?
I'm saying it right now.
I think it's more likely than
Phil said. Phil said it's coming.
It depends whether... if we get something mid-year, I think it'll probably just be what we're used to. If we get something towards the end of the year, then maybe it'll be a little bit more exotic with the ports that you get. Right.
And if they don't do it first on the Nexus, next year Samsung will have it. No. I'll go on record saying that. We'll see it from Samsung in 2016, if nothing else.
It's coming. It's coming. All right, now that's it. Now we're done. As always, we're brought to you by shopandroid.com and call me at 888-468-6158. Shopandroid.com. I see they get some new stuff coming in already. Saw some M9 stuff dropping in today. I was going to go through my podcast email, but holy crap, it's been spammed to hell and back.
I'm sorry.
Oh, wow.
You should really click on all those links, though. Yeah,
Seraphim Technology Company.
Deeply educational material there.
Yeah. Alright, I think that's it. Jerry, Alex, Russell, thank you. Andrew's on vacation, much deserved. So if you see him attempting to do any work on the Twitters or anything, yell at him.
Tell everybody, plus Andrew Martonic.
Yes.
Just tell him, wee. Friend on vacation, so just tell him, wee.
Say, pay attention, pretty lady! I don't know why I talk like that to the two of them, but I do because it's fun. All right, that's it. We will be back next week. I'm trying to think if we have anything weird going on, but I can't think of anything weird yet. So,
well, I can figure out something weird.
Yes, I can as well. Ooh, you know what I want us all to think about is that the first Android Auto head units are starting to ship. There's first third-party ones, and I was looking at them today. I have more questions. Mainly, can I get away with spending $1,000 without my wife noticing? But I have other questions as well.
Dude, you come up here for a weekend and I'll help you install it.
I got
wrenches and beers.
We're all going to Jerry's house.
Alright, that's it. We'll be back next week. See ya.
See you later.
Adios.
Wee.
Wee.
That outstanding Android Central podcast was brought to you by Igloo Software. Give your employees an intranet that they'll actually want to use with full responsive design and HTML5 features. Try it for free at igloosoftware.com/android.